RNZ Pacific Atamarie, I'm Waratula Epitela with a bulletin of news. The Pacific Conference of Churches says Australia's new security pact with the US and the UK sits uneasily alongside the region's nuclear legacy. The AUKUS alliance, announced by leaders of the three countries this week, is set to develop nuclear-powered submarines for Australia. The conference's General Secretary, James Bhagwan, says the move is a serious concern for a region still dealing with the legacy of nuclear testing. He says the Pacific Islands Forum is increasingly focused on achieving a blue Pacific that is nuclear free.
You know, the ocean impacts our life. We are the fish basket of the world. So if one submarine comes in and something goes wrong and the nuclear waste from that submarine gets into our ocean, that's too much already.
The Pacific Islands Forum is demanding Japan share crucial information about the wastewater it plans to dump from the Fukushima power site. The plan raised a global outcry at the potential damage to the Pacific from more than 1 million tons of treated waste from the nuclear plant wrecked by an earthquake and tsunami 10 years ago. Don Wiseman has more.
The Pacific Islands Forum's been looking for assurances from the Japanese government that the wastewater will be safe. Japan committed to ongoing dialogue with forum members as a priority during the Palm 9 summit in July. At talks this week, the forum Secretary General Henry Puna said the agency wants open and frank consultation along with sustained dialogue. Mr. Puna says the Pacific requires nothing less than full and complete disclosure of all information and evidence to enable the region to fully understand the issue and its impacts.
Fully vaccinated New Zealanders planning to visit Fiji must ensure they register a negative COVID test result within 72 hours of their departure to the Pacific Island nation when it opens its international border on November the 1st. Prime Minister Frank Bainimarama says visitors can be assured everyone they interact with in Fiji will be fully vaccinated, from their fellow hotel guests and staff to their tour operators. He says visitors will holiday in designated travel-safe areas for 5 days and must test negative for another COVID-19 test before they can travel throughout Fiji.
We are drawing up the boundaries of these travel-safe areas in close cooperation with the tourism industry. We will have regular in-country testing and clear protocols in the event of breakthrough infections. We expect to be ready to accept travellers well before our goal of celebrating Christmas in Fiji with our friends from around the world.
Frank Bainimarama says when Fiji achieves its 80% vaccination target, it's all systems go. So far, 60% of the target population are fully vaccinated. Children aged between 15 and 17 years will be able to receive the COVID-19 vaccine in Fiji. The government says the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines will be used in the rollout that begins on Monday. Health Secretary Dr. James Fong says unlike the workforce, vaccination for children will only be conducted with the consent of parents or guardians.
We have decided to vaccinate children aged 15 to 17 years all first, as these children are mostly in secondary school and some of them are nearing the end of their secondary education.
According to the Education Ministry, 26% of students over 18 years are fully vaccinated, while 30% have only had their first jab. Pacific health experts in Aotearoa are rejoicing over strong Pacifica vaccination rates thanks to community-driven initiatives. More than 62% of eligible Pacifica have received their first dose of the vaccine, and at least 32% of eligible Pacifica are fully vaccinated. South Auckland GP Dr. Apitale Matonga says these numbers will only increase. Dr. Apitale Matonga says a strong Pacific for Pacific approach has always been the answer, and this has only happened recently. The autonomous Bougainville government says it's not changing course as it seeks independence from Papua New Guinea. President Ismail Toroama was speaking after a parliamentary statement from the PNG Prime Minister, James Marape, that nothing can be predetermined on the independence question. He says neither he nor his government could legally make any commitment on independence with the final decision vested in Parliament. But Mr. Toroama says Bougainville and PNG must both comply with the peace agreement. Mr. Toroama says despite the challenges, he has not lost sight of people's aspirations for an independent Bougainville. Three Chinese astronauts have returned to Earth after completing the country's longest crewed space mission. They spent 90 days at the Tianhe module on China's space station, some 380 kilometres above Earth. Nie Heixing, Liu Buming and Tang Honbo touched down in the Gobi Desert in Inner Mongolia yesterday. The successful mission is another demonstration of China's growing confidence and capability in the space domain. Haiti's Prime Minister Ariel Henry is continuing a purge of justice officials as he dismisses suggestions he may have links to the assassination of the country's president in July. The justice minister has now been sacked for backing the chief prosecutor who had wanted to bring charges against Mr. Henry. The prosecutor was sacked earlier in the week. The assassination of Jovenel Moïse remains a mystery, as CNN's Matt Rivers reports.
Who might be behind this assassination and why they did it? Who financed it? Any of those questions remain unanswered at this point. Even when you talk about the former prosecutor who wanted to bring charges against the current prime minister, Ariel Henry, in regard to this assassination. He didn't even specify what those charges would be, just saying that there's evidence that Henry had a phone call with one of the key suspects.
In sport, New Zealand has abruptly abandoned its cricket tour of Pakistan, citing security concerns that have apparently left the hosts mystified. The cancellation was announced just before the Black Caps' first scheduled match in Pakistan in 18 years. Pakistan's Prime Minister Imran Khan last night phoned his New Zealand counterpart to assure her there is no security threat of any kind to the team. However, in a statement sent to Reuters, Jacinda Ardern says she totally supports the Black Caps' decisions and that player safety has to be paramount. She says she conveyed her thanks to Mr. Khan for taking care of the New Zealand cricket team. The Fijian Undrua is expected to announce its players and coaching staff in the coming weeks as they prepare for their debut season in the 2022 Super Rugby Pacific competition. The team were confirmed as part of the expanded 12-team competition alongside Moana Pacifica and five teams each from New Zealand and Australia. Interim CEO Brian Thorburn says there's been a pile line of talent to choose from in-country.
We're very happy with the guys that we're signing, be they from, you know, from the local provincial rugby or from, you know, the sevens sphere.
Brian Thorburn says in some cases Fiji Rugby may have to contract players who are not eligible to play for the country. He says while the aspiration is for every contracted player to be eligible for national duty, they may have to compromise to fill an area of weakness. The teams are expected to arrive in Australia mid-October, where they will be based for the season. Manly crushed the Roosters 42-6 in the NRL elimination playoff last night in Queensland to advance to the penultimate week of the finals and another sudden death against the Rabbitohs. The Sea Eagles scored 7 tries with fullback Tom Trobeck bagging 2 as they bounced back from last week's heavy loss to the Storm. And Canterbury held on to beat Waikato 2019 in a controversial game in Hamilton last night as the NPC rugby season resumed after an enforced break due to the nationwide lockdown. And that's the latest news from RNZ Pacific. For more on our stories, go to our website, rnzi.com.